Together and turn tonight to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. Amen. I do want to say a big thank you to Brother Raymond McGee for teaching Wednesday night. All of Heard's good reports, did a good job, and thank you for coming and supporting him. Amen. I appreciate people. They're just faithful to God, God's house. Amen. This is not about, that's not a popularity contest. Amen. You know what? I've been fed by first-year Bible college students. Amen. That had some tremendous thoughts. Praise God. I have learned that if you come to church hungry, amen, you can be fed. And if you don't, you need to fast a few days and go get hungry. I don't know how your system is, but after about 3 days, you know, liver starts looking pretty good. Just about anything. Chiguito looks good. I don't know what Chiguito is, but we had some in Colombia. Best I can tell, it's either Nutra or Muskrat. And so we had a little of that. I took a big bite, swallowed it. My stomach said, let's make a deal. You don't send any more down, I won't send this up. I said, you got a deal. Amen. And so I went on and had potatoes and rice, and we did fine. Amen. And so praise God. But we're hungry tonight. The Bible said that he feels the hungry. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Praise God. Genesis, I want to read some verses and then just hold this text because we'll be referring to it off and on through the lesson and the message tonight. Let's go to the 13th chapter and read verse 8 first of all. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and my herdmen, for we be brethren. Everybody say, we be brethren. And then on to the 14th verse. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Amen. And so tonight I'd like to preach about this subject, when we let God choose. When we let God choose. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. They used to tell us in Bible college, some are called and some are sent. Some just packed their bags and went. And that's what happened to Lot. Lot was not called. He just went. Amen. He is like some Christians today that try to get along on somebody else's experience. The Bible says in verse number 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram. So he just went along. He was just there. And he was coasting along. When Abraham did well, Lot did well. When Abraham went down to Egypt, Lot went down to Egypt. Everything Abram did, Lot did. And so he was just coasting along on Abram's coattails. And a lot of people try to live the Christian life that way. They never grow a backbone of their own. They never receive convictions of their own. They just pass along on somebody else's experience, living like Lot, and just trying to glean the blessings of Uncle Abraham. Amen. And the Bible says that Lot was also blessed. Amen. You can hang around the church and get blessed. Amen. It's a blessing just to be here, folks, whether you're saved or not. Praise God. You know, if you live according to biblical principles, whether you're saved or not, you'll be blessed. Because it's just a blessed life. And so Abram just was along for the ride, but he was blessed. Amen. Their substance grew. And the Bible said it was so great that there came a time there wasn't any room for them. Amen. I'm getting there. Looking for another size. Not really. I'm in the John ministry. He must increase, I must decrease. Amen. But we're working on that John principle right now. Praise God. But they grew in their inheritance and their herds and their possessions grew greatly until they were not able to find a place big enough for everybody. Wouldn't that be a wonderful problem here? If we couldn't find a building large enough in Athens to fit everybody into, could that happen? Is that a possibility? Amen. I was just reading today in an article by our foreign missions director when he went to the country of whatever country it was. Amen. In Central America, it'll come to me in a little while. Amen. And so they went by the stadium, and there's about 3,000 people in their conference. And then they went by the largest national coliseum in the country. And he said, one day we're going to have our conference there. And every time somebody would come see him, Brother Hal would take them by in El Salvador. Told you it'd come to me. And they'd drive by the largest coliseum in El Salvador. And he'd say, one of these days, we're going to have our conference there. Amen. And guess what? Praise the Lord. The Lord kept adding to the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. He began to teach the people that they ought to bring somebody to God every week. Amen. And then he heard about in Ethiopia, they were challenging people to bring somebody to the Lord every day. Amen. And the church began to grow and blossom in El Salvador. And before he left the country as a missionary and became our foreign missions director, they had their conference in the largest stadium in the country. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So God wants to bless. We talked a little about it this morning. I didn't really get into it like I wanted to, but God wants to bless people. We talked about our Sunday school lesson. What God wants out of people is for us to produce. It's not so much about just God blessing you. He wants to do that, but He wants to bless you so you can produce for Him and for the sake of the kingdom. Amen. The Bible did say one place, it said, we ask not because we receive not, or because we ask so that we may consume it on our own lust. We ask amiss. If you're just in a blessing club, just that you're the center of the universe and asking God to bless you just because you're so great and you deserve blessing so much, you've missed the mark, friend. Amen. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Him. He's the center of it all. Praise God. But He will bless us for His great sake. Amen. For His name's sake. Hallelujah. He wants to do that. And He did that, did He not? With Abraham and with Lot until they came to the place. The Bible said there was strife between their brethren. One thing that can stop the blessings of God is strife. Can that happen in a local church? Amen. Praise God. It can happen here, right? We got to be careful about that. Amen. To live above with those we love, that will be glory. But to live below with those we know, well, that's another story. Amen. The challenge comes in living with one another here. Getting along with one another here. When there's strife, God's blessing does not abide. And so Abraham in his wisdom said to Lot, you know, there's no sense in us fighting together. He said, we're brethren. I say, we're brethren. You know, something that helps me get along with folks is to understand that the church is the body of Christ. And if I hate my brother, then I hate a part of the body of Christ. And if I'm unkind to my brother, I'm unkind to the body of Christ. And if I wound my brother, I wound the body of Christ, even if it's my wife or my husband. Woo! It's not just your wife, and it's not just your spouse, and they're not just your children. They're a part of the body of Christ. And we cannot say that we love the Lord and despise a part of His body. Amen. Praise God. Well, Brother Grissom, that was really good. Thank you, sir. Amen for just bringing that to my attention. Amen. Praise God. So we've got to be careful about how we treat one another. Amen. And so there was strife. So Abraham said, let's separate here. Amen. And so he turns to Lot, and this is just the heart of Abraham. He says, you go ahead and choose. Now, if Lot had been what he should have been, he would have said, well, no, uncle, you're the elder here. I'm blessed because I've been with you. You ought to get the first choice, and I'll take whatever's left over. But he didn't do that, did he? He kind of already had it spied out what he wanted, I believe. Amen. He stood on the high point and looked out, and the Bible says he looked at the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered, and it was beautiful. Now, there's a couple of traits here that disturb me. First of all, the Bible said that it was like Egypt. Now, they'd already been down to Egypt, and they found out that if you were a pretty wise person, you could get rich quick in Egypt. And so when Lot saw that, he said, this is like Egypt. And then the next thing he saw is he saw some beautiful cities down there by the name of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, there's opportunity down there. And so you see, he's thinking in the wrong direction, isn't he? Amen. He's thinking with a carnal mind instead of with a spiritual mind. He's thinking about how to bless himself instead of how to bless the Lord. So he's got his mind on Lot. And I think it's interesting how the Bible says, it says Lot chose him. Lot chose him. Chose himself. Chose what he wanted. Chose what, in his estimation, in his thinking, and his limited perception, what was best for him. Amen. Now that's when we get in trouble, whenever we just try to please ourselves. But when we let God choose, amen, it's a whole lot better, folks. When we let God choose, it's a whole lot better. Do you know what the word Jordan means? It means death. So Lot chose literally death. Amen. He made the wrong decision, didn't he? Oftentimes when you and I choose and we don't consider the Lord and the will of God in our considerations, we choose death. The Bible says that God had already looked down and he had not yet judged Sodom and Gomorrah, but it does say that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And when we're spiritually perceptive, we can notice things like that. Have you ever been around somebody that was wicked? Wasn't too hard to pick that up, was it? Amen. Been around somebody that's ungodly? It's not too hard to pick that up. Listen to their conversation. Look at their lifestyle. It's not hard to perceive that. Again, we're not judging. We're just being fruit inspectors. Amen. Praise God. I can understand what righteousness is. I know what righteousness is. And if people are not living right, then they're not righteous. And that's not judging anybody. That's just from my own information, trying to identify what kind of tree they are. Amen. Praise God. And so the Bible says that they were wicked men there. And then tragically it says that Lot chose that. And then it says, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. So every morning when he got up, the first thing that he saw was Sodom. And the last thing that he saw at night before he went to sleep was the twinkling of the lights of Sodom. And the last thing that his wife saw and the last thing that his children saw were the lights of Sodom. Better be careful which way you pitch your tent.
Yes, sir. Right, man.
Gotta be careful which way you pitch your tent. Because the Bible tells us in just a few short chapters, when we see, read about Lot again, he's not, don't have his tent pitched. He's living there. He's sitting at the gate. He's one of the elders of the city. He's become prominent. He's become wealthy in the city. But unfortunately, not very influential. The Bible says that righteous Lot, everybody say righteous Lot, lived in the city and his soul was vexed from day to day. Lot maintained his righteousness and his integrity. Apparently, the Bible says that he did, even though he lived in a wicked place. But the tragic thing is that he lost his family there. You may be able to withstand some things, but your family may not. So there are some things that are just not worth the price. Oh, but Brother Grissom, I'm strong enough. I can handle it. Amen. I was reading about a boy that came to his mother, and he wanted to go see an R-rated movie, and his mom said, you know, we don't do stuff like that. And he said, but Mom, it don't have very much bad stuff in it, just a few bad words and you know, a little bit of nudity, nothing real bad. That won't bother me. Don't have much in it, just a little bit. And while they're talking about it, and all of a sudden, Mom, she's making her salad, getting ready for supper, and she reaches over in the garbage can, and she gets some garbage out, and she starts chopping it up, and gets a little more garbage, and chops it up, and mix it in with a salad. And he says, what in the world are you doing, Mom? You're mixing trash in with a salad. He said, well, just a little bit won't hurt you. Just a little bit won't hurt you. Amen. Brother Holly used to say, I love Lucy too. but there were some things that get started down the road, you know, and you got to be careful. Amen. And so we learn Lot's lesson. Though he lived in the city, and though Lot maintained integrity, and apparently Lot was a righteous man, but how dearly it cost him. Even when his daughters came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah were still in them. And there were two little babies that were born in an incestuous relationship. And their descendants plagued Israel from that time until this day. They're still plaguing Israel. Amen. And so it was important. Lot made some wrong choices. But when you let God choose, it makes a difference, doesn't it? Amen. I like the way the Bible says this, and we read in the 14th verse, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, he said, lift up now thine eyes. It's as if the Lord has waited a long time to get Abraham to himself. First of all, he had to wait till his father died. Terah died in Haran. And here we are now, and Lot's hanging with him. So finally, God gets Abram to himself. Like he told him to do in the beginning, he said, separate yourself from your country. And he said, from your kindred. And from your father's house. Now finally he's got all of the chaff separated from his life. And now it's time for blessing. Praise God. You know, sometimes it takes a while for us to finally get in the will of God. we dance all around the perimeter and we partly obey, but when we finally get there, And we have fully complied with what God said, then blessing begins to happen. Amen. And so Abram, the Lord says, lift up now thine eyes to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. Praise God. And then he says, I will give it to you. I like it when God says, I will give something to you. Because there's nothing that can impede him. There's nothing that can stop him. When God says, I'm going to do something, it gets done. When the Lord says, I will, he does. And there are no circumstances that can get in his way, because he is not subject to the circumstances, but they are subject to him. And so God said, I will give it to you and to thy seed. This is going to be an everlasting inheritance. Isn't it amazing? Here we are thousands of years after this promise was made. And guess what? That land is still inhabited by the seed of Abraham. For 1800 years, they did not have a homeland. But in 1948, they have a homeland since that day until this. Hallelujah. How amazing God is. When he makes a promise, he keeps it. Hallelujah. Praise God. They talk about the 10 lost tribes of Israel. They're not lost. God knows exactly where they are. Amen. They might not know who they are or where they are, but God knows. Amen. And so he said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give this not only to you, but it's going to be an inheritance forever. And even until this day, his inheritance are still there. Then the Lord says to Abram, he says, arise and walk through the land. You know, when God gives us something, he always involves us and asks for a response from us. God didn't send down a chariot and a chauffeur. He said, you arise and walk through the land. It's your possession, but go possess it. It's your possession, but go possess it. It's your possession, but go possess it. Amen. The Lord said, wherever you set your foot, I'm going to give that to you. Now, if some man said that to you that was very wealthy, you would you'd get excited about it, wouldn't you? Amen. Hello? I've said if some rich guy came and said, Brother Grissom, you take off walking and all you can walk, I'm going to give you all that. Boy, you talk about walking. You wouldn't see me for a few days. Hey, man. But isn't it amazing? Sometimes we put more faith in the word of a man than we do in the word of God. But the Lord said, I'm going to give you. Just arise and start walking. Hallelujah. You know what? We don't have a physical land that's promised, but we have a spiritual land that's promised. And we have some spiritual. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Are we walking tonight? Amen. Praise God. And so what where we walk, we will possess. I believe there are areas and realms in the Holy Ghost that the Lord wants us to experience. God wants us to know victories that he wants to give, but we just haven't walked there yet. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thank all three of you that said amen. Praise God. But I believe it anyhow. I think there's things that God wants to do, and God wants places God wants to take us, things God wants to do for us, gifts God wants to give us, but we haven't walked there yet. Amen. Praise God. It's ours. Hallelujah. Amen. But we have to possess it. He said, I'm going to give it to you. Then the Bible says, and I like this, it says Abraham removed his tent. Amen. What in the world is a rich guy doing living in a tent? Here is a man that could have built a massive house if he wanted one, but he lived in a tent. The book of Hebrews tells us why. The Bible says that Abraham dwelled in the tabernacle or a tent with his heirs, with Isaac and Jacob. It said because he was looking for a city. Amen. And he didn't find it here. It says he was looking for a city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And because he couldn't find that place here, he just lived in a tent and just kept on moving. What are you saying, Brother Grissom? Don't get your roots too deep in this old world. Do like Papa Abraham. Amen. Understand that there's times you're going to have to move on. Hallelujah. Don't get too comfortable. We sing it tonight. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, and the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Praise God. Don't get too attached to this place. Don't seek your roots too deeply here. Amen. Because this is not our home. So Abraham lived in a tent, and he moved from place to place. Hallelujah. Amen. He was looking for something better. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the Bible says that he removed his tent to Mamre in Hebron. So there he comes, he pitches his tent in this particular place. And I like this. The Bible says, and he builded an altar there. When you read the life of Abraham, when he parks in a place, one of the first things that he does is build an altar. That's what made Abraham a friend of God. He was always building altars. What is an altar? An altar, first of all, is a place of worship. Amen. Everybody needs a place of worship. Amen. Praise God. I believe it was, his name slips my mind, but he said that we can worship God anywhere, and he's right. He said, but if you don't have a particular place of worship, you probably will not. Amen. That's why we need an altar, folks. That's why you need a place to worship. This is one place that we have an altar. It's okay to have an altar in your home. Amen. It's all okay to build an altar in your car. I'm not talking about a literal one, but when you declare that a place of worship, hallelujah, amen, then it becomes an altar. Praise God. You can make an altar just anywhere. Amen. Praise God. Anywhere God is, that's where the altar is. So he said, here I am in Mamre. Here I am in Hebron. And I'm going to build an altar. And he built a place that he could worship God in that unusual, strange place. But he said, I'm going to worship God here. Hallelujah. An altar is a place of cleansing. Anybody ever need to be cleansed? Hallelujah. Brother Wayne McLean made a statement one time I thought was exceedingly good. He said he came to church one night and he just felt so unclean. And he began to search his mind and search his memory and think of the things he said and the things that he had done and all of that. And he couldn't come up with any reason. He couldn't remember anything wrong he'd said. He couldn't think of anything wrong that he'd done. And so he just was pondering, God, why do I feel this way? And the Lord said, it's because you have been battling with filthy spirits all day long. You haven't done anything wrong, but you've been rubbing against old filthy spirits all day long. Some of you that work in certain places, you know what I'm talking about. You're around old coarse people and old worldly, filthy, vile spirits all day long. We're not talking about people. I'm talking about spirits here. Amen. Praise God. But some people allow spirits, ugly spirits, to control their lives. Do they not? Some people let the spirit of lust get a hold of them. Some people let the spirit of lying get a hold of them. Some people let a spirit of perversity get a hold of them. People let all kinds of ugly spirits control their lives and get a hold of them. And you're just dealing with that all day long. And you may come to the house of the Lord, or you may get to your house at night, and you can't understand why you feel like you feel. But let me tell you, there's an altar, praise God. There's a place of cleansing. You're all right on the inside, but he just wants to cleanse your mind. He wants to get all the garbage out. He wants to get all the trash out. He wants to wash your spirit. He wants to purify and cleanse you all over again. Amen. That's why we need an altar in our lives. So the Bible says that Abraham built an altar to the Lord. Now I love the place that he built his altar. The word Mamre means fatness. Did you know God loves some people more than he does others? The Bible said the fat is the Lord's. Sorry, skinny folks. There's just more of us. That may be false doctrine, I don't know. But anything for justification, you understand. Praise God. But the word Mamre means fatness. Of course, it refers to the place as fertile. It's a place that produces greatly. It's a place of abundance. Hallelujah. Amen. You know where I want to pitch my altar? I want to pitch my altar in abundance. I want to pitch my altar in the place of fatness. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And then Hebron means fellowship. Praise God. So he pits his altar in a place of fatness and abundance and a place of fellowship. Amen. You want a rich life? When you let God choose, you will dwell in fellowship, in fatness, abundance. My, what a place to live. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just let God choose. Just let God choose. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We need to strive today to let God make important decisions for us in our lives. You don't just pack your bags and go. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Before you make an important decision, wait on the Lord. Ask of the Lord wisdom, and He giveth, the Bible said, liberally. Just wait on the Lord. Amen. Let God choose. When you don't know what to do, let God choose. Praise God. You know what? He wants the best for you. But we sometimes want to be like Lot. We get our eyes full of something and we think, man, that's exactly what I want. That's exactly what I need. Have you ever made a wrong decision doing that? Yep. Has the Lord, have you ever prayed a prayer that God answered and you kind of wish you hadn't? You got something that you prayed for that you really didn't want after you got it. Amen. I prayed a few prayers and God didn't answer. And I looked back and I said, thank you, Lord. You knew what you were keeping me from. Amen. Let God choose. Let God choose. Amen. He knows what's best for you. And listen, He wants what is best for you. Amen. And it will always be the best decision that you'll make. Amen. I want to live in that place at that altar where there's fellowship with God and abundance in Jesus Christ. That's when God chooses, that's what you get. Amen. What did Lot get? Death. Destruction. The judgment of God. What a travesty. Amen. Everything he had, he lost. Amen. You got to be careful about choices in life. Choices have consequences. Let God choose. Let's stand together. Amen. It's important tonight that you make the right decision about your life. Young people, especially tonight, you need to be very careful about decisions that you make. Don't make a decision just simply based on what you see or even what you feel. But let God choose. Spend some time talking to Him. Amen. It looked good for Lot. My, it looked like the best decision. But it turned out to be just ruin and destruction. Amen. I am so saddened by what I see happen in people's lives when they make wrong decisions. Amen. It's one of the hardest things that pastors have to deal with, is to somebody come and tell you something they're going to do and you see a different side of it, and you try to say, I don't think that's the best thing for you to do. And sometimes they'll say, well, you know, I want to do it and I think it's the right thing. And then see them a little while down the road and their life is a disaster. Amen. And we take no pride in that. There's no I told you so. There's just a hurt on the inside that says, oh, I wish you'd let God choose. I wish you would have let God choose. Amen. Praise God. But you know, it's a delight to see people that have let the Lord choose in their lives. And you're still here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let God choose. I think somebody tonight is facing some important decisions about life. And I want to give you an opportunity to come and just spend some time talking to the Lord. There's an altar here. There's fellowship here. There's abundance here. There's enough of the Holy Spirit of God in this place to satisfy all of your longings and the hunger of your soul if you'll just give God an opportunity. How about it? Somebody, would you step out and would you come right now? Amen. And you're going to say, Lord, I've made a lot of decisions about my life, and I've made some good ones and I've sure made some bad ones. But I'm going to let you choose tonight. I'm tired of making bad decisions. I want you to choose. I choose you. I choose fellowship. I choose fatness. Amen. Praise God. I choose you, Jesus. I choose you. How about it? Anybody going to choose the Lord tonight? Anybody want to step out and declare by your coming, Jesus, I choose you. Amen. I choose you. No bad decisions. I choose you. I'm not going to walk by sight. I choose to walk by faith. Hallelujah. Amen. I choose to cast my faith in you. Things I cannot see, but I sense in the Holy Ghost tonight, this is right. Amen. I choose you, Jesus. I choose you. Amen. Hallelujah. I choose you.